the Macho Man Randy Savage, and when I want to catch up on all the sports, I listen to the Randy Harris Show. That's the bottom line.
God, I miss Randy.
Yeah.
One of the best.
Goat. A goat.
About Rushmore.
Never replace that guy. Like football players, they change positions. The years come and go, but can't really replace a Randy Macho Man Savage. Like, as far as personality, character, impact. Like, wrestlers will change, but you can never change that character.
My off days during the season, I spent a lot of time watching all the documentaries like they've been releasing, like The Rock. I did Macho Man and, you know, all those guys. So that's dope to hear the voice.
We're going
to
talk a little more about some of those guys. I'm going to answer your question about the fights.
Yes.
But right now, let's go back out to Anaheim as we get ready for UFC 270. And welcome to the program, Victor Henry. Victor, how are you?
What's up, guys? How you guys doing?
We're doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm chilling, man. I just overheard you guys talking about Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have a story about
Randy? Yeah, you're a fan. You know him?
Not personally. I mean, unfortunately, I never got to meet the guy in person. But I actually work at a pizza joint, and Macho Man is on the large size pizza pan that we have.
What do you mean he's on it?
And what do you mean a pizza place?
We have our sizes up on the wall so people can see what sizes they order. Rowdy Piper's on the small. Ultimate Warrior's on the medium. Macho Man is on the large, and you can guess who's on the extra large.
Well, I'm sure your boy.
Cool. Andre the Giant?
Andre the Giant, that's him.
Yeah. Well, so what a small world. So, before you become my BFF, more questions.
Yeah, but let me fill you in a little bit about us.
Yes.
Okay. So, this is one of the longest running MMA combat shows in the country.
Fact.
B, Matt owns a pizzeria here in the Tampa St. Pete area.
Fact.
Okay.
He invented the pizza diet.
Fact.
He rode a bicycle from St. Pete to New York City to promote pizza.
Fact.
And he wants to hire you as a delivery person.
No, you forgot. Hulk Hogan sponsored me for 3 years as an athlete at the gym with Bushwhacker Luke, Jimmy Hart, and Brutus the Barber Beefcake on a regular basis.
As well as Randy Macho Man Savage was in my video to get on Survivor.
Facts.
So cool. That's dope.
And I'll tell you what. One of these days, when I crack the top 10, I will deliver these pizzas in exchange for some pizza.
Done. You don't have to be in the top 10. Yeah, just come. What are you doing at 2:30?
we'll get some pizza to you here in the Tampa Bay area.
Absolutely.
We got to get you to Tampa Bay first.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I'm down for travel, and the travel usually comes with food, so I'm down with that.
Where do you live now?
Right now, I live in Fullerton, California.
Okay. So we're sitting here with Caleb Bentnock from California. He went to college in California,
UCLA.
Played football for UCLA. He's been all over Detroit, New England. Now he's with the Saints, played for the Bucks, but he built a home in Tampa. He calls it home now permanently. So once you come here, you'll never leave.
Exactly. It's a great place, man. Great city.
I'm looking forward to it. And who's got the best food?
Oh, I do. I invented the pizza diet.
Hold on a second. Victor, let me tell you this. All right. When you get to know me and ask Nobby or ask Chris Costello or ask anybody there at the UFC, they know me all well. I don't pull any punches. I tell it like it is.
Okay.
Matt is one of my most disliked co-hosts I've ever had.
Facts.
Okay?
True.
If I could replace him tomorrow, I would. Okay?
He's tried.
I've tried. He's been fired 3 times, and I just can't get rid of him. But with that said,
kind of like how I came into Josh's life, but go on.
Yeah, okay. I have eaten pizza not only all across the country, but when you get and you need to sit down with Dr. Davidson, the UFC doctor, ask him about the pizza that we had over in Germany. I've eaten pizza all over the world, and I hate to say it. It hurts me to say what I'm about to say to you. Matt McClellan has made the best pizza I have ever eaten in my life.
We'll celebrate to that. Cheers.
I am all down for that. I am a food. I wouldn't even say connoisseur because it can look like rotten eggs. I still probably eat it. But I love food, and I'm all about that. I'm willing to put that to the test.
Well, we will definitely do it. And I'll hook up a hotel. I'll get a hotel sponsor, bring you in, bring you on the show. We can hang out at Tournament de Pizza.
It's where winners eat.
And just, you know, eat nonstop. After you take care of business, of course. You know, you've got business to take care of on Saturday.
Absolutely, man.
We're not going to talk about it. We're going to still talk about food.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, all the other media guys ask you about the fight. We just want to talk to you about who you are.
I have been to so many MMA events across the country and across the world, Victor, that I look at where I can eat. And the reason that I didn't come to Anaheim is because I'm going to the UFC in Houston because of the $35 stuffed turkey leg.
$38.
The best turkey leg you ever have, I promise you. It's worth every penny to me.
You need to go to Houston and try this turkey leg.
Turkey leg. All
right, well, you know, it's funny. When I first started traveling for fights, the very first time I was even out of California for a fight, I actually went to Japan. And it was for... It was for an organization called Grand Slam, and they had me fighting this guy named Hideo Tokoro, and he had over 40 fights, and this was my sixth or seventh fight. Josh goes, "Hey, this is going to be a hard fight, but you know, it's an opportunity. They're not paying that much, but here you go." One of the main reasons why I said yeah was because I wanted to travel and I wanted to eat. And I'm glad I did, because I found a place out there called Go-Go Curry. That was the best Japanese curry I'd ever had.
I think, Matt, you and I are going to fight.
Well, I think
you want him as your BFF because of pizza, and I want him as my BFF because he's a foodie like
me. So
welcome
to the show. We're going to send you a W-4. We need you every Wednesday from 2 to 4.
1099. You are now my co-host. Matt has been demoted to co-host. And we are going to move on.
But it brings up a valid question, though. You know, with so
what's your favorite food?
No, but with this, with so much in the media about, you know, the fighter pay. You know, everybody assumes that once you make it to the UFC, you're automatically this like paid superstar with like millions of dollars flowing. You know, Caleb, probably the same thing with the NFL.
100%.
You get the brand NFL on your shield, and all of a sudden everything sees you're a multimillionaire. Mm-hmm. But you know, you're not. You know, maybe the top nine guys making the big money. So.
No.
It's nice to see that you're out there doing, you know, doing your thing at the pizza shop, man. I love it.
What do you do at the pizza shop?
So I started off as a bouncer. Believe it or not, 5'7", 150 pounds of intimidating bouncer with long hair. I figure if Patrick Swayze can do it in Roadhouse, I can do it in real life, right?
Well, but Patrick Swayze was fighting Terry Funk.
I remember that, yeah. But, you know, luckily there's nobody coming up with boot knives over at where I work, so.
the boot knife. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. Did you go by the be nice until it's time not to be nice?
Yeah, actually, I did, you know, and I developed a couple little tricks while I was there. You know, usually I would pull up to somebody and be like, "Hey, you can't smoke in here, or you can't do whatever it is in here. So why don't I buy you a beer, and we'll just calm this down." And usually that'll work, you know, that, you know, people get free stuff, they tend to calm down.
You know, Ken Shamrock told me a story, a very good friend of Ken's from back in the day, and he said he was at a bar, and a guy goes, "Let's go outside, I'm going to kick your butt." And Ken goes, "You know, you probably could, let me buy you a beer." You know, for the same thing, you know. Ken said, "I go outside, you know, I kick his butt, I go to jail. He kicks my butt, and he's now a legend for beating Ken Shamrock."
Become BJ
Penn. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. You know, there's other tricks where, like, "Hey, I'm just a small guy. They send over. After this, I got to get the really big Samoan guys."
So yeah, you know,
that,
for
like,
sure.
"Oh, I'm Chill good.
Didn't buy those guys any beers."
All right, let's get to know you a little bit, and then we may talk about your fight. Dinner for four. You're going to invite four people over for dinner. It can be at the pizzeria or it can be at a steakhouse. Any four people, living or passed away, real or fictitious, and it can't be Josh, it can't be anybody from the gym. You know, let's get to know you a little bit. Who would those four people be?
I'm inviting Gandhi, Winston Churchill, let me see, Bill Burr,
love that.
And... you know what? I'm going to go with George Washington.
Oh, nice.
very, very collective nice. Group there. Yeah.
Bill Burr with Gandhi was hilarious.
But what's the first question you're going to ask? Like, I never like when people say, send me a list of your 10 questions. And I just said to Kay earlier, you know, I don't know what question number two is until I ask and question one is answered. So what's the first question and who are you directing it to?
I'm directing it to Gandhi. And it's more of, hey, Bill Burr, what do you think about Gandhi?
Matt, brilliant. You have been fired.
I love it.
You have been replaced. What do you watch on TV? What do you listen to on the radio to relax, to just kind of get away from, hey, I have a fight either this Saturday or three Saturdays or from now, or just kind of to chill?
Well, I mean, it's no secret that I like Japan and going to fight in Japan, so I actually do watch a lot of anime. So I'm one of those nerds, you know, but I won't wear the shirts out in public. I keep it to myself. It's kind of like a little deep, not a deep, dark secret, but I keep it to myself.
What's your favorite anime? I'm a big anime guy myself.
Right now, I actually like, I forget the name of it. It's my favorite one, but I forget. It's called My Hero Academia.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah, My Hero Academia is really good. Attack on Titan just recently came back, so they're showing the last season supposedly.
Yep, Cowboy Bebop. Have you ever seen that one?
I've seen Cowboy Bebop. I've seen all the old school classics.
Dragon Ball Z. Yeah, that's dope, man. I'm about to steal you from them now.
Well, now we've lost it. Because I'll tell you one thing. I may fight Matt. He'll lose, but I may fight Matt. There's no way I'm getting anywhere near Caleb Benenat with gloves, without gloves, blindfolded, with a helmet, anything.
He wouldn't make weight. He can't get down to 265.
Oh,
not yet.
You're disqualified.
All right, just so that I don't get in trouble with the UFC, let me throw one fight question. Give me your thoughts on your opponent.
Well, he's a real tough guy. I mean, arguably top 15. This opportunity for me is, of course, it's a big opportunity. I get this win. I'm already in the mix. I don't have to do all this singing and dancing for these lower shows and everything. So, you know, getting a win over this guy who's really tough and great boxing, great wrestling. Half of his wins come by knockout. So, you know, there's a lot of complaints about this card, about it being, there's so many newcomers, it's not worth it. Well, those are the cards that you got to watch out for, because everybody's got something to prove.
Exactly. You know, it's funny that you say that, because it drives me crazy, and I tweet it all the time. You know, I'm at a UFC. I'm there for the first fight. There's empty seats. There's people that are walking in late. And these are the guys, like you said, these athletes, not guys, because obviously females as well. They're fighting to move up. They're fighting to get on a main card. They're fighting to make more money. And it drives me crazy that you buy a ticket, you're not there from start to finish.
Yeah, you know, that's the difference between people who are MMA fans and fans of fighting versus fans of one organization.
What is your process like getting ready for a fight? Like leading up to it the week of, is it the same every single time? Like, I know for me personally, like when I go to a game, I've had the same routine since I was a freshman in college. You know, and I have that routine. When I do my routine, I know, okay, I'm ready for this game. Regardless of how my body feels, if I'm nicked up, whatever it is, I do my routine mentally. I'm ready to go, whether it's the kind of music you listen to, whether it's a stretch you do or prayer. What's kind of like your process right leading up from the week of to when you walk into that cage?
You know, man, I pretty much always stay in the gym, and I really don't have a process. I'm pretty much the opposite. Every opponent is different. Every camp is different. You know, your body feels different here and there. The best thing I can say is I just make sure that I'm mentally prepared for no matter what happens, I'm going to work through it and I'm going to get this done.
Gotcha.
What's the craziest, strangest, funniest, stupidest, whatever thing that's ever happened in the middle of a fight, either to you, to your opponent, you noticed in the stands, whatever?
I remember I had a fight over in Washington, and I think the Seagulls were actually doing really good that year. And, of course, the guy I was fighting was a local boy, and they go, come on, let's go Seahawks. And I look over, and I say, screw the Seahawks. and I ended up arm-barring the guy, so I got the win. And the guy, I look at the guy, and he's kind of like, aw. I was like, eh, it don't matter, man. It's just a fight. It is what it is.
That's awesome. What can the fans expect to see when you do your thing on Saturday?
You know what? I mean, if they haven't seen me already, that's a shame on them because I've been around for a while, man. But you know, when I get in there, you know, I'm in there to chase a finish. I'm not in there to grind out decisions. I'm not in there to just get a win. It's not my style. Like, even if I win by decision, it's kind of a failure on my part. I go in there for the purpose of finishing that fight. You know, I said it before and I'll say it again. I'm not in there for a long time. I'm in there for a good time.
I got one more question for you because I'm a big UFC fan. I love watching you guys and what you do. What was your welcome to the UFC moment? Because, you know, I feel like every professional athlete has their welcome to the big leagues moment. What was yours when you're like, oh, shit, I'm here?
Shoot.
Good or bad?
Shoot.
Oh, shoot. Sorry.
Or the boat show.
I apologize.
We're
going
to go back to Sushan.
Oh, shoot.
I'm sitting at a Korean barbecue when I got the call.
Okay.
I'm stuffing my face like nobody's business. And, you know, my manager gives me a call and he goes, hey, you got a UFC debut in 2 weeks. You down? And I have finger short ribs in one hand and I got brisket in the other. And I said, yeah, let's do this. And I keep stuffing my face.
There you go. I was going to ask you, did you at least finish your meal?
You're absolutely Randy's BFF. Randy, you won. Congratulations on your new sidekick.
I do.
We can't compete with that, Caleb.
No, we can't. We can't.
And I'm going to tell you this much, Victor, that, you know, and I tell my wife this, that when people say, like, you know, hey, I live in Toronto. If you're ever in the area, knock on the door. And, like, 6 months later, I'm banging on this guy's door. Like, can I stay here? So be careful what you wish for because we will get you here. I will get you a hotel to hang out. And we'll do the radio. We'll eat pizza. We'll do a whole bunch of really cool stuff.
I'm with it, man.
Awesome. Best of luck. Enjoy yourself on Saturday. I know that we have your address. We're going to send you a care package of 8-Man Strong Gear, as well as Odd Sock Official, which are some of the coolest socks, who have all those characters or some of those characters that you just said.
Yeah.
So I'll make sure that that they're sent out your way as well.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate your time.
All right, have fun on Saturday. We'll talk to you soon.
Later, dude.
My new BFF.
Man, what a great guy!
You're now co.
I'll move over for that guy.
Good dude. That was a lot of fun and a lot of pizza.
So Caleb, my question for you is: you talk about your pregame routine.
Yep.
It's been the same since college. Mm-hmm. What's gotten you to the big leagues, right? But when you watch film, are you watching some like fighters break down fights? Are you looking for like where they put the weight on their foot? If you could catch them off balance, are you looking at they tend to go left more often than they go right? Like, do you break it down for each game individually?
Oh, definitely.
Based on each player?
Definitely. I mean, we go through overall scheme as a team and kind of like what their base defense is, the kind of pressures they run, what the tells for the pressure is. And when you get all that down, then you get to the nitty gritty of the player you're playing. Like, certain players have certain rushes they're good at. They're better at one side than the other. If their one foot is back, he's going to go inside more likely than he's going to rush up the field. He's going to make his move off of two steps or four steps, you know? And so you get into these details, like, what's his favorite rush on first down? What's his favorite rush on third down? In key situations, what rush does he go to? How does he set up rushes? So you go into all that detail. So when you get in those situations, you know, like, okay, hey, it's 3rd and 10. It's the fourth quarter. This is what he did during those situations, okay? So I know what to expect. I know what two moves he's going to come and go to, so you're better prepared.
Now, does that make the game more fun for you as a fan, like when you watch it on TV and you're not a part of that actual game?
Oh, 100%.
But you see what they're doing. You see the chess pieces. You see the way they're playing out the strategies.
You know, I think people watch offensive and defensive line play, and they just kind of see people running into each other. But the detail in it is so, so, so small. And the smallest mistake, like just literally for 1 second, leaning one way than the other, gets you beaten. So I tend to watch that and kind of enjoy that battle that goes back and forth, because you see a guy set up one move for three quarters and then get a big sack in the fourth quarter and you think he just made a random play, but he's been setting up that move for a very, very long time. So it's fun to watch.
If you guys, if the offense knows this about the defensive line, wouldn't the defensive line know that as well?
Of course.
Wouldn't they try to mix it up?
But again, it's one of those things where as a player, I'm going to use my strengths and make you play to my strengths. Right. So I'm good at what I'm good at, and I'm going to make you play into it. And so that's kind of how we approach that.
Interesting. All right. Let's go hit another quick break and then bare knuckle time.
Yeah.
We have the other side. We've had Caleb Harris on. Now we're going to speak to his opponent, who's already beat him once.
Yes.
So Elvin Brito,
the world title
for the world title when we return. This is Knockout Radio, hanging out poolside.
No, it's dockside.
It's pool. Look how big a pool is.
And if you want to buy this boat, actually, Caleb, after the break, I want to talk to you about the first purchase when you got in the NFL.
Okay.
What your big purchase was, because the boat shows this weekend at St. Pete Yacht Club. And if you're signing a bonus check, come on down and see Craig Williams at Preferred Yachts.
Before we hit the break, I've told this story numerous times as well. Allegedly, John Kruk. Do you know who John Kruk is?
Or no. Was?
John Kruk, first baseman, San Diego Padres. Then he got traded to the Philadelphia Phillies. And just a big character. I mean, just a big, lovable character. Was asked that question. When you signed your first major league deal, what did you buy? You know, and a lot of times it's a house for my mom. It's, you know, the Porsche for myself. He bought a case of beer and a gallon of ice cream. John Kruk is a stud. All right, let's go hit a quick break. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staffson.
I don't like what's getting back to me.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, Tampa, this is Terrell Owens, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
Calling all Rocky Balboa fans, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. If you're a Breaking Bad fan or WWE or South Park, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. Scarface, Godfather, Back to the Future, and Jaws, and many others available at oddsocksofficial.com. Double Dare, SpongeBob, Street Fighter, and did I mention Rocky Balboa? All available at oddsocksofficial.com. That's oddsoxofficial.com. If you can't find a pair to wear, then why do you have feet?
This is former WWE wrestler Tugboat, a.k.a. Typhoon of the Natural Disaster. And have you been to the best gym in downtown St. Pete? If you haven't, there's no better time than now. Suncoast Fitness is locally owned and operated. They have that old school feeling you just don't find anymore. Suncoast Fitness has plenty of cardio, machines, and free weights. It's more than just a gym. It's a family. Stop in and tell Hunter you heard it on the radio and your first workout's free. 33 6th Street South, St. Pete, Florida. Suncoast Fitness. We're just different.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Chris Sims from the Tampa Bay Bucks, and you're talking with Randy Harris, baby.
We are back. This is Knockout Radio, coming to you live from the St. Pete
Poolside
Boat Show dockside. It is.
It's poolside. Look how big this pool is.
It's a body of water. It's a arena.
How ironic. DJ Tony just showed up.
BKFC and like resident DJ, world extraordinaire, and well, part-time pizza guy.
And just in time for the BKFC official segment. So let's welcome to the show, as he prepares for next week, Elvin Brito. Elvin, how are you?
Good, brother. How you guys doing? Good.
Not too bad. So tell us, 10 days away from Jackson, Mississippi. How are you feeling? How are things?
I'm feeling good, man. Feeling good. I mean, I'm training great. I mean, I've been busting ass for a while now, and we've been kind of anticipating a title fight. We kind of saw this one coming, so we've been ready for it for a long time. So it's just all that's left now is to go over there and fight because all the work is done.
Give me your thoughts because it's a rematch. You know, it's in a way, you know, a lot of people like rematches, a lot of don't. Dominated the first fight, and we're going to talk about the judges here in a second. But, you know, thoughts that it's a rematch?
Well, you know, I'm number one. Caleb's number two in the ranks. He's kind of worked his way back up. There's nobody really. The 165 division, we got a lot of new guys coming in, but we don't have a lot of veterans and a lot of active guys. Me and Caleb is one of the most active guys in the BKFC. We try to fight every time we get a chance. And you know, this opportunity to have to fight for the belt came up, and it only makes sense to have the number two and number one, number two, and Caleb just happens to be the guy. It's a rematch. He feels that he's ready for it, you know, and I'm going to show him that he's not.
When you watch, if you've watched, you know, the fight, you know, when you fought the first time, can you take anything from that? You know, yes, you won the fight, split decision. As a judge, it just drives me crazy that it can be, you know, both sides, what was it, 29-28, 29-28, and then 50-45 to me is just beyond words. It's just, you know, if they're close, I get one round, but that drives me crazy. But what can you take if you have rewatched the fight?
That one guy fought a completely different fight. When I watch the fight, I'm always critical of myself and I'm always trying to be better. I'm trying to be a champion. So I just see a lot of missed opportunities on my part. I was fighting a little bit different back then. I was being very defensive-minded. I'm still a very defensive-minded fighter, but I was dancing around a little bit more than I should have. I should have been engaging more, and I could have took advantage of a lot more opportunities. And I could have probably even convinced the one judge that was seeing him win every round by being a little more dominant. So that's really what I've been focusing on, is coming out there as a champion and just dominating the fight so where it's uncontestable. If it does go to decision, I mean, even a blind judge can see it.
Do you know what corner you're in, Matt?
I'm in the red corner. I'm always in the red corner.
Elvin, do you know what corner you're in?
I'm pretty sure it's a hometown guy. I'll probably be away. I'll probably be red corner.
There you go.
Yeah. So Elvin, yeah, like obviously your fighting speaks for itself. We've seen your dominant performances, but what have you learned from training with champions like Joey Beltran and Lorenzo Hunt? You know, I know you've been doing some training with those guys. What have you learned from them specifically that elevated your game?
Well, those guys are real champions, you know. And being a champion is more than having a belt in your hand. You know, we're fighting to be BKFC champions, but Joey and Lorenzo, whether they have a belt in their hand or not, they're champions. You know, you have the championship mentality and the drive and the things that, you know, is required to be a world-class fighter and performing at the highest level without any hesitation. So really what I learned from them is just kind of make peace with a lot of things as a fighter and not, you can't really play it safe all the time. You have to be able to go out there and give it your all. And if you want something, you got to be willing to take it. So it was really awesome having them, both these champions out here with me working. And, you know, at the end of the day, you're fighting by yourself. And people, your training partners can only do so much from you. But if you do have a good mix, and I'm sure if you're in a fight environment, you know, if you get a good mix of fighters, we all feed from each other and we just push each other to be better. And we've been pushing they've been pushing me as much as they could. You know, we've been pushing each other until we couldn't push each other anymore. That's just how we do it. And keeping that championship mentality. And really, that's I would say I learned the most of them. Like I said, the championship mentality and the things that you need to be a champion, and you need that confidence in yourself, and your mental image of yourself has to be the same as your, you know, empiric abilities.
Let me ask you this, since you were training with Lorenzo Hunt. Can you assure everybody that if and when you win the title, that you'll leave all four letters on the belt?
yeah, I can't guarantee anything. we'll make sure we respect the belt. I was telling my manager, maybe I should go, you know, when we're doing the interview, I'll go grab the belt and try to pretend I'm going to throw it. Like, no, Lorenzo, why?
I'm sure Senior would love that.
Oh, he would love that. He would love that joke. But no, We're gonna leave the belt intact.
Perfect. Caleb, what happened when Lorenzo Hunt, well, before he won the title, he grabbed it from the champion at the time and just slammed it on the ground.
Wow.
So two of the letters, the B and the BK, and the C fell off. So now he has the belt with just the two letters. I'm curious, Elvin.
We were in two different situations, too, where, you know, Lorenzo felt like he was cheated out of that belt. Like, he should have been the, you know, he's 6-1, you know, 7-1. Why is he... You know, why is he not the champion? So, you know, like he was saying, like, there shouldn't be any champion unless they could beat Lorenzo Hunt. And, you know, he showed it how upset he was with everybody. And, you know, I said it's something that I don't normally condone, but I get it.
I didn't notice anything after he walked down the ramp and they were throwing all those dollar bills out. Are you going to do the same thing?
No doubt, but no, we're going to keep it, you know, I'm about to be down with someone out there. With a smile on my face, and, you know, you make it look fun, make it look easy, do like we always do, and get ready for another one.
So, Elvis, so with the walkout song, I'm sitting here with DJ Tony. He's sitting at the booth. You know, Luis Palomino had one of the most amazing walkout songs with the drums and the walkout. Have you put any thought into, like, your walkout? Is it going to be something like a show? Like, have you, you know, how important is it, or how much effort do you put into your walkout song and appearance?
Well, you know, BKSC fighters, they're larger than life. Personalities, I think it's you got to be different. It's a different kind of breed of fighter to be a bare knuckle fighter. And some guys go all out on their entrance. You know, I usually try to pick a song that goes with the vibe that I'm trying to bring into the ring. And I'll do the same, but I don't think this time I'm going to be having any fireworks or anything too crazy. I'm going to be having all the champions walking out there. It's going to be, you know, just all the Titans coming out and pretty much showing why we're the best fighters in the world. It's my turn. I'm up and I get to show why I'm the best at what I do.
You touched on it and you said it's a different breed of fighters because, I mean, to go out there and fight with no gloves on, you know, that's a different thing, man.
It's a
you gotta have a different kind of mentality. Like, we're not going out there hitting each other inside of a head with no pads on. So what got you into fighting and what got you into being like, I'm gonna go out there and be basically the ultimate badass and go punch people in the face with no protection and get punched, you know? Yeah, and keep coming.
Yeah, well, I've been fighting since I was young. You know, I started doing it when I was in shape. Now, when the bare knuckle came up, I had already watched some of it, and when I saw bare knuckle, I was like, man, these guys would love me, you know, because I've always had an unorthodox boxing style, and I throw a lot of punches, and I move around a lot, and I just saw it, you know, when I saw it on TV, I was like, man, these guys would love me, and the opportunity presented itself. One of the guys that I fought for at the time, Island Fight local fight promoter, Dean Tool, I was sitting in his office, and he's like, hey, I'm doing matchmaking for BKFC, and he didn't even offer me anything. I was like, whoa, what? I was like, let's do it. Hey, get me in there. And he put in a good word for me. I came in. They brought me in as a can to fight a local guy, and I got knocked out of the night, and I've just been slowly falling more and more in love with it ever since. Bare knuckle is just different. If you watch the fights, you see a lot of people lay down. It's a sport where it breaks most people. I think the average fight count is like people only come like one time. No, not everybody's willing to come back over and over again, you know. Well, we got guys in our team, 6 fights, 7 fights, 8 fights, 9 fights. It just takes a special breed of fighter to be able to take shots, endure the possibility of just, you I always say we're in a it's like a car accident every time you do a bare knuckle fight. You know, it was
a lot of people like to make that comparison to gladiators.
What's up?
I said a lot of people like to make that comparison to gladiators, but you guys really live that life, though.
Yeah. Yeah, we really do it, you know, and it takes, like I said, a lot of people aren't willing to do it. I want to stand there and fight and do what we do. And
well, on the same thing, Caleb, you know, as Elvin just said about, you know, like a car wreck. You know, you being an offensive lineman in the NFL, it's a car wreck every single play as well.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah,
yes,
for sure.
Yes.
But I got protection on.
but that's the argument for bare knuckle is that they're not padded up, so it's actually a better skill set. Mm-hmm. You can't throw with full power because you don't have protection. So if you took the helmet and the pads off in the NFL, will we see better plays and better gameplay if the guys weren't just pure brawling or brute strength?
Man, I don't know. I don't know if you can play that game at that speed, running down and hitting guys like that. That's gonna be it's gonna be a lot of tagging off, and you know, going like flag football at that point.
Football is already one of the most grueling sports. I can only imagine without any pad work, it'd be real rough.
Yeah. Would you be willing to play a game without pads?
Oh man, no.
Elvin, let me ask you this. You know, next week in Jackson, Mississippi, a title on the line. Does that change anything about this fight? Can you like block that out, or do you want to know, hey, this is for a belt and I have to do blah blah blah?
You know, I always say it all the time, like I'm operate very well under pressure. I work good under pressure, and the more pressure you put on me, you know, I'm like a spring. You know, the more pressure you put on me, the more I'm just going to explode. And I'm calm under pressure. This is the biggest fight of my life, and I'm totally ready for it. And more importantly, I'm ready for it. So I'm not going to lose face. I'm not wincing. I'm not going to be hesitating. It's going to be just like another day. Even though it's the biggest fight of my life, I'm so ready for it that it's just like another day at the office.
Have you noticed how far the sport of bare knuckle has come? I was at BKFC 1. And I remember talking to a lot of fighters early in BKFC, and I would ask them, how many times are you asked, I know it's bare knuckle, but what size glove do you wear? And how far it's come, what number are we up to? 20?
23 plus like the fight night? So you're at 27 fights now?
Do you still find people asking that, or are we past that stage?
Well, no, man. I mean, the people that come up to me and people that I talk to about bare knuckle, they definitely understand the sport more. There's still a lot left to learn for just the general just fan, or just, but people are definitely picking it up on it more, and people know bare knuckle. Now, it used to be, you talk to people about bare knuckle and they're like, what? That's legal? They do that? You know, now there's so much bare knuckle stuff going on. It's a new hot thing, so people know it. People know it's bare knuckle, and people love bare knuckle. It's so different. The energy is different. And if you ever go to a live show, you're gonna get hooked, because there's no energy. Like, you can't really simulate that kind of energy.
Before we let Elvin go, Matt, have you seen the mat for next week?
I've not seen the mat yet. No, sir.
Matt's one of the mat flippers, so he'll be flipping that mat that you stand on in between rounds.
I'm the mat guy.
He's the mat guy.
I'm the guy. I also have a pizzeria that's built around champions and winners, so when you win that belt next week, you want you come up here to Tampa Bay with Lorenzo.
With all four letters.
We'll celebrate you and whatever letters you show up with.
All right, we'll do it. I'll make sure I got all the letters on there.
There you go. Elvin, thank you very much. Best of luck.
Thank you, guys.
Next week. I know we have your address. Cool. We're going to send you a care package of swag from Ape Man Strong, as well as some really cool socks from Odd Sock Official.
I appreciate it. It's going to be an awesome card to start the year. Awesome main event. And you guys enjoy, man.
Absolutely. You enjoy as well. Thanks. All right, let's go hit our final break of the afternoon, and then I remembered. I'm going to answer your question.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
When we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by Ape Man Strong and Staff Zone.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
How you doing? This is Tony Gonzalez from the Kansas City Chiefs, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Ape Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are Ape Man Strong.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Gottsplit and Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Gottsplit Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park, or call them at 727-290-9873.
This is former WWE wrestler, Tugboat, a.k.a. Typhoon of the Natural Disaster. And have you been to the best gym in downtown St. Pete? If you haven't, there's no better time than now. Suncoast Fitness is locally owned and operated. They have that old school feeling you just don't find anymore. Suncoast Fitness has plenty of cardio, machines, and free weights. It's more than just a gym. It's a family. Stop in and tell Hunter you heard it on the radio and your first workout's free. 33 6th Street South, St. Pete, Florida. Suncoast Fitness. We're just different.
How would you like to be like Jorge Masvidal, Dustin Poirier, Daniel Cormier, Joe Rogan, me, and many, many others? You could also own an amazing painting from Ross Bain's art. Ross paints original canvas art, including custom commission work. There is nothing Ross Bain's can't paint. Ross was commissioned to paint the Masvidal flying knee mural on the ATT gym wall as well. Hang a painting in your house or office of your favorite athlete, actor, pet, family, sunset, you get the idea. Check out his amazing talent on the online store at rossbainsart.bigcartel.com and join the Ross Baines Art owner family. Follow Ross today on Twitter at rossbainsart.
Calling all Rocky Balboa fans, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. If you're a Breaking Bad fan or WWE or South Park, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. Scarface, Godfather, Back to the Future, and Jaws, and many others available at oddsocksofficial.com. Double Dare, SpongeBob, Street Fighter, and did I mention Rocky Balboa? All available at oddsocksofficial.com. That's oddsoxofficial.com. If you can't find a pair to wear, then why do you have feet?
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Bill Rancic from The Apprentice, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris, and you're fired.
Victor. What a great guy.
Victor's, you know, and I meant to bring it up, but, you know, we got so caught up in who was going to be his best friend that I neglected to bring up the defending and reigning Tampa Bay Buccaneer, because that's what you were at the time.
Yep.
Pizza maker from Torta Pizza was Caleb.
Yeah.
So in the off season, you know, if you want to help out at the restaurant.
I'm down, man. I got free time.
Security a little too big for that. Apparently, you have to be what, 170 and like 5'6", long hair.
I might eat too much of the product, though. You might fire me after that.
Well, I know I'm definitely going to do that. All right, so you asked me in the first hour, and my favorite fight of all time, which I don't know if this can ever be beat, ever be matched. I don't know if it's because of who the two fighters were or not. I'm trying to be honest. Mm-hmm. But two fighters and I'll tell you, and you'll know what it is.
I know what it is.
Are two of my closest friends, and I hated that they fought each other, and they didn't do it once. They did it twice. And that would be the Matt Hughes Frank Trigg fight.
Okay.
I've never seen any fight, at least for me personally, that changed my emotions so quickly. And I told both of them, because I was in an awkward spot. It's two good friends of mine. And I said that I would be more upset for who loses than happy for who wins. Mm. And, you know, the first blow, Matt goes down, and my first thought, holy crap, Matt. And within, 12 seconds?
Yeah, he reversed it.
He got hit by a light bolting. He picks Trigg up. He carries him to the other side. He body slams him, and he chokes him out in about another minute.
Wow.
I don't know if that fight could ever be duplicated. There's been other really great fights. One of the few fights that I remember was the Chuck Liddell Vanderlei Silva fight. Just Tank Abbott for three rounds. I don't know if I've seen a fight like that yet.
Mm-hmm.
That fight Saturday night was pretty good. You know, the main event and.
What a fight!
Yeah,
Qatar.
Yeah,
Qatar put it on him.
Yeah, he put it on him. Oh my goodness! One thing that I absolutely love about UFC fighters that's so impressive to me that I don't know that I have that in me to go and fight somebody like that. Do that, and they'll give him a hug. I'm black and blue in the face and bloody. It's like, it's such a personal thing, and you see dudes cry and hug each other and have so much respect, and it's really, really impressive. Like, it's really impressive.
The very famous street fight that involved Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz and Lee Murray, and I don't know if you know all that. Uh-huh. Well, I was there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was there. I wasn't at the fight. I'd already gone back, but I was in the nightclub with all those guys, and we took this bus, and Elvis Sinisek sitting next to the guy you just fought. you know, at Tito, and that's the way it is. And that's what it was all built around.
Yeah.
Is the sportsmanship. And a lot of them are gonna say it's, you know, it's what we do, we're gladiators, and I don't have anything against you until all of a sudden they have things against you.
Yeah.
You know, and then it is different, and that's what we talked about the first hour, how, you know, they can hate each other, and then, you know, like I said, BJ Penn and Jens Poldler are now hugging. And it's like, wait a second. And that's when it started to bother me, because of the love of the sport and blah, 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 blah. I don't want fakeness.
Yeah.
I don't want you going out there and being a character, and then as soon as the fight's over, oh, everything's all good.
Yeah.
If you dislike them, dislike them. Respect and still say I hate your guts.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
A question just came to my head now.
You've been moved down another row, by the way.
Yeah, Tony's here. Of course I'm not. And a limo driver. I got no chance.
No, you still have pizza.
So, Leon Edwards, right? He's kind of been in the mix. He's on a 9-fight win streak right now, and he seems to keep getting jumped over. Like, what are your thoughts on him as a fighter? Do you think he should have a title shot? What do you think? Why do people keep? Are they scared of him, or is it? It's not a big of a draw. Like, what do you think the problem is there?
Well, first, I'm naive.
Yeah,
you already know that.
Yeah,
you know, I believe everything. I sat with Titus O'Neil once, and we were at a charity event in Nashville with Randy Couture, and that's when the ring fell. Mm-hmm. When Braun Strowman and Big Show, and it fell, and I bought it. I believed it. Yeah. And I asked Titus, oh, yeah, it's real, and I'm stupid, and I believed it, and all that stuff.
I did too, by the way. It's okay.
I find it hard to believe that any professional fighter is scared of another professional fighter.
Mm.
I do. And for anybody to say, and I know you're not saying, but people are saying that Kamaru Usman is scared of another human being.
Yeah, I don't believe
that. Is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think any fighter... They may be, you know, apprehensive. You know, I also believe that when you go in and fight Usman, you can't believe that you're going to go in there and kick his butt. You may win the fight.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, to say I'm going to go in there as the third-ranked, eighth-ranked, unranked, and you're going to fight an Usman or, you know, a Francis or really any of these UFC fighters. But I just think that's just the way it's happened. And people have a little WWE-ish, and which has influenced Dana and the powers to be. This fight should be next. Yes, which fight do you think will sell better? Leon Edwards versus Usman or Usman versus Kobe Covington?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was going to say. I was like, he doesn't sell himself.
Yeah.
He's not a guy to get pay-per-views, to get – and this is a business.
Yeah.
Regardless of skill set, regardless of matchups, it's all about how many tickets can you sell, how many pay-per-views can you attract. And I don't think he does a good job of promoting himself.
The whole thing, as the story goes, Covington was about to be released.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went to this persona.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, and I've always said, the whole thing about professional wrestling, and I said this about Matt Hughes as well, is the Ric Flair. I call it the Ric Flair.
Yeah.
It's okay if everybody loves you, but you need people to hate you too.
Mm-hmm. Equally.
That's who's going to buy tickets.
Yeah.
People are going to buy tickets. Even when back in the day when they believed professional wrestling, I'm going to go to the Bayfront Center, which is no longer here, to watch Ric Flair lose tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to spend my money, and Leon Edwards, I don't think, does that.
That's why Jake Paul does so well. Love him or hate him,
He
lives in that world of, I want you to hate me because you're going to pay to see me get knocked out, and I'm going to get filthy rich off of it.
Now, Jake Paul is a young guy. He spends excessive amounts of money. He gives away free Rolexes to his media friends and counterparts.
Well, it wasn't a friend.
to the people in the media.
Did you hear the story?
The one he gave to Tyron Woodley?
Well, at the press conference, there was a media person who used to be my board operator here at this radio network, and he went on and blah, blah, blah. So he asked Paul a question about, is that going to be your thing from now on, giving your opponent Rolexes? And you know what Jake Paul said to him?
No.
Do you want one? And he sent him one.
That's awesome.
I am a huge Jake Paul fan.
So
that's awesome.
So being that cool.
So being an NFL player, by signing your first contract, getting the millions and millions and millions of dollars, what was the first thing you bought when you got your big check?
So my first big thing I spent money on after I got drafted, was really, really happy. I went with my family. It was a bunch of it was family and some really close friends, 15 of us. Went to a nice dinner. It's whatever it was, $3,000-$4,000. That's the first time I was like, oh man, that's a month and a half of living before, you know what I mean? So did that on a dinner, and then I bought myself a Jeep Wrangler. And so that was really it. I didn't kind of start experimenting more and getting into nicer things until after I felt okay, I can play in this league. you know, like I can be here. I can have some longevity. Like I played some games as a rookie in my second year. Then I started going, okay, you know, I'll get myself those nicer pair of shoes and kind of do things like that, you know. But I, you know, you hear the stories that come in, you're here for a year or two and you're out of there. So I didn't want to be one of those, you know, one of those guys. So I kind of was patient a little bit.
How was the rookie dinner for you? Were you all right?
Yeah, I was all right. They didn't kill me. They played a trick on me, actually. Ryan Fitzpatrick and all the guys.
See him the other day?
One of my favorite teammates ever.
He was at the
guy.
Buffalo game.
Shirtless.
Him and his son, shirtless.
Love him.
Shirtless.
Love
flexing. Fitz is amazing.
Awesome. With magic. So this is the real thing.
We're playing Jacksonville in preseason, and they're like, hey, Brooks, we're going to dinner. It's the running backs, Doug Martin, the quarterbacks, James, everybody's there. The whole O-line is there, right? 20-something guys, right? So we eat dinner. We get done dinner. And they go, yeah. So they talk to me and Leonard. They're like, hey, you guys got the bill. We're like, oh, okay. They're like, yeah, we'll take the bill. They hand us a bill. You take it out, and this thing hits the floor. And at the bottom, it says $36,000. And I'm sitting in here. I'm just like, I haven't even got my signing bonus. So like, this is like, this is, I can't pay for this. And we're sitting there stressed out trying to call people. And after about 10, so they're like, you know, like, what are you guys willing to do for us to pay for it for you? So they messed with us for a little bit, you know, and like kind of afterwards, they just, you know, they ended up taking care of the bill. It was about $13,000. They took care of the bill. My actual rookie deal was at the end of the season. And it was about, between myself and Leonard, we each spent about between $7,000 to $8,000 each. Right. So it wasn't as bad as it could be as some of the ones I've heard about and been around. So
What's the highest?
Oh man, I think Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott had like a $70,000 dinner.
Ooh.
I've heard about Ndamukong Suh and some guys in Miami having $90,000 dinners, you know? Like
the thing that bothered me, and again, I'm a nobody. You know, I shouldn't even have a say in this. This is your deal, and this is, you know, your hazing isn't the right word that you're supposed to use. But
rite of passage.
It's the rite of passage. Mm-hmm. And I had to do stuff, you know, in the military. But what bothered me as a nobody was I've heard stories. Names will go nameless. You go to dinner, and you go to town. That's part of what you do.
Yes.
I get it. But I know for a fact, at least one player, that then ordered like $1,000 bottles of champagne
mm-hmm.
to go.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's, I get the thing, and I get you can afford it, and I get all that, and I get it's part, do it there at the dinner.
Yeah.
But to go and take, and to me, bothers me.
What kind of happens with that is certain guys, like if you go into, you know, organization, and you have a guy who he was a high draft pick, and he was a draft pick 10 years ago, and that's when guys used to really stick it to you, and he got it stuck to him. He's a rookie. He's like, you're a first rounder. He goes, yeah, I need that $4,000 bottle of Louis the 14th. You know what I mean? Like, I need that. But then you have a guy like Ali Marpet, who's more relaxed. He's like, I'm just going to eat normal like I always do, and we're going to carry. So it just depends on who you get.
No, I get it.
But it's, you know, you take it on the chin, you don't complain, because it just gets worse if you complain.
Yeah, no, you can't complain. Who was the receiver in Dallas that complained about some of that stuff and didn't know?
Dez Bryant, was it Dez?
Yeah, I think it was. Well, he didn't want to carry the shoulder pads.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm not doing that.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, A, how do you not know? But B, he learned quickly.
Yep. I was like that. I used to push back, and because I'm like, you know, like I'm grown like the rest of y'all are grown. I got a family too, like, you know what I mean? And my O-line coach, George Warhop, pulled me to the side, you know, because I used to always, I'm giving it straight back to him. And he's like, hey, understand, these guys don't hate you. It's part of it, right? They're putting pressure on you. They want to see how you handle under pressure, right? It's all part of growing up. You take your lumps, you move on. And then when I kind of accepted it, that's when I became one of the guys. I became close. And then they ease up on you.
Right.
But if they see that you're sensitive, they lean into it. Because it's like, well, you know what I'm saying? Like, who do you think
it's
you are?
Weakness, right?
Yeah, exactly. So when you kind of just kind of lay back and just be like, ha-ha.
So there's a question, and I didn't even think about this until now. But, you know, you see in the media, a lot of young guys come in, a lot of money, big signing bonuses. And it seems like they're just they're not prepared for the star, like the stardom, the fame, the money. Like, do you guys have coaches and teams, did they bring people in to help you guys manage finances, and or are you on your own completely?
You know, I think that is nowadays is a lot more rare than it was in the past. I think most guys coming in, before you sign a contract, before you even start training, you have an agent, you have a financial advisor, you have a team of people around you. So as soon as this stuff comes in, they have a plan. I interviewed 10 agencies, 10 agents, 10 financial firms, and they each brought me a plan. And then, like, the way I structured mine was I had a list of 10 to 15 questions. And if you answer my questions before I had to ask them, then I knew you were prepared and ready to go. And so that's kind of how I went about it. But most guys have those things ironed out before you even get in. So, you know, everything's handled by them, and there's a checks and balances system, you know, and so it works out pretty smoothly now. It's not like it was before where guys are getting $10, $20 million and you don't know what to do with it. And it's just kind of like, oh, my dad's going to watch it. You know, it's not like that anymore.
Back in the day, I remember they'd do all those classes. Like they would bring people in
symposium,
to act.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, act as whatever, somebody trying to take advantage of you, act as a girlfriend, act as a brother. You know, what I'm curious, I remember Michael Pittman once told me that he got a letter from somebody, shows that long ago, it was a letter,
yeah,
an email.
Yeah. Delivered by hand.
asking if he would pay off his house, you know, yeah, their house. Have you ever gotten like a really crazy?
Yeah. So, my third year, I got, I made a ton of money in play performance, and it's public, all our money is public knowledge. So I got somebody reached out to me and said they wanted 150 grand to start a car wash business. And I said, okay, send me a business model. And they said, bro, come on, you're my friend. Like, kind of just do it. So you get stuff like that. It happens.
The beauty is we're out of time, which means you have to come back.
I'll be back.
You're now the co-host.
And I got to write a business plan.
I want to thank Greg Williams and everybody for bringing us out to the boat.
Preferred Yachts. Thank you.
See everybody next week. We'll be at the PGA Golf Show next week. See everybody then.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? Staff Zone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, Staff Zone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the Staff Zone way.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
WTAN Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.